Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my home overlooking beautiful Bull Shoals Lake near Branson, Missouri. We're talking about eschatology. That's a long word for last things or end things, actually the end of this age that we're living in things. And of course, the end of something and the beginning of something else, which we're coming to a time when the ages change. And that has to do with the word I just said, time, T-I-M-E, time. To tell what time it is, you need to look at God's time clock, which is Israel. Remember last week we talked about the three groups of people and that in order to understand things of the end and what God has to say about things of the end, you'll have to know which group he's talking about. And so we looked last week at the first one. Well, that we are told the three groups in 1 Corinthians 10:32, the Jews, the nations, and the church. So last week we looked at the introduction of the first group of peoples, and that is the introduction of the Gentiles, or the Hebrew word nations, goyim. So you can go on the archives and you can see how they were introduced, the nations. In what we call the Old Testament, Jews call the Tanakh, there are only two groups of peoples that are addressed. There is, of course, the Jews, but there's the second group. The first one is the nations, and we watch the fall of the nations. We watch the Babylonian system fall, rebel against God, let us say. Now, the next group of peoples who are introduced to us are the Jews, the separated people. We read about them in chapter 12 of Genesis. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curses you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God, when the nations have rebelled against him, then he separates a nation unto himself to reveal himself to those nations. God loves all the nations. But the nations, all the nations, there were 70 nations that are listed for us, foundational nations that are listed for us. They rebelled against God. So he cuts out from them. That's what holy means. It means cut out or separated. So he cut out from all the other nations a nation unto himself, and he brought it forth from a man of faith, a man who would believe him, Abraham. He's the father of the Jews. He is the first Jew, the first one to enter into the covenant of circumcision. And he's the father of faith to all of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's speaking to his natural seed and of his natural seed in Genesis chapter 12 and the nation that it becomes. Today we see that seed come home. Wonderful promises are made about it all through the word. So we're talking about eschatology and we're talking about time. And when people ask Jesus, his followers ask Jesus, when will you come? When will you destroy this? When will you come and set up your kingdom? He said in Matthew 24 and he said in Luke 21, watch the fig tree. The fig tree is Israel. Israel is God's time clock. And so we can get a good idea where we're on God's time clock by looking at his promises now being fulfilled of bringing the Jews home after the last 2,000 years and even more. The Babylonian captivity started even earlier. But let's say for the 2,500 years, the Jews are back in their homeland ruling themselves for the first time. So we see prophecies fulfilled. Praise the Lord. What time is it? I spoke at Kenneth Copeland's minister's conference in January 2013, and the Lord definitely told me to speak on time to those ministers. What is time, anyway? Does God need time? Not for himself. The Bible tells us that he inhabits eternity. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. So I used to say God knows the future. Well, he not only knows the future, he lives there. In eternity, past, present, and future are all there. It's eternity. Nothing about God, the high and lofty one, is affected or limited by time. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name that we mispronounce Jehovah is spelled in the Hebrew Yod, He, Vav, He. And it literally translates to, He was, He is to come. He's the eternal one. There will come an end to time as we know it, but that's not yet. We're changing now from the end of Adam's six-day work week. We're going to approach the millennium that the Bible teaches about, the seventh day. The end of time will come after that. There is an end to time as we know it, but what is time for? What's it all about anyway? Sitting across from me is my grandson, Jared. He is the engineer on this radio broadcast. And when he was a little boy, Jared could ask all kinds of questions. And I remember one time his Aunt Shelley tells this story. She was on her way driving to a basketball game somewhere that one of our grandchildren or her children were playing. And Jared was in the car. I don't know, he's 10 years old or so. And he just asked one question after another, and Aunt Shelley's trying to find this gym someplace that she doesn't know even where it is. And so finally she tells Jared no more questions. But Jared had one more anyway. We live in Branson, and Branson's a city of lights. But at Christmas time, it is particularly a city of lights, and it was Christmas time. And so Jared said to his Aunt Shelley, Aunt Shelley, how many light bulbs would you say that we have in Branson? Shelley informed Jared. I don't know how nice she was about it, but she told him, let's say in probably nicer terms, but it boils down to she told him to shut up. And Jared said, oh, no, Aunt Shelley, and I just had one more question. She said, all right, Jared, one more, that's it. And he said, what exactly do you think are those black holes in space? Then she did tell him, maybe not so nice, to shut up. So that gives you an idea of what Jared was like. And I was in Australia for my first visit. And I called Brenda, Jared's mother. And Jared answered the telephone. Well, knowing Jared and what he was like, I thought, boy, I will set Brenda up for some questions. I said, Jared, this is Mimi, and I'm calling you from tomorrow. I said, don't be concerned about yesterday. It turned out just fine. When that trip came to an end for me in Australia and I was flying home, I flew out of Sydney back to LA. And the way time goes, you can leave Sydney and then you can arrive in LA before you left Sydney. So time is relative. When we were on that trip, the captain said, we have just crossed the international dateline. He announced it. The Lord said to me exactly at that time, and I can still hear the tone that I heard it in, God invented time precisely, mathematically, scientifically. God measured out a piece of eternity and called it time for his dealings with man. Each passing second counts off time until the end of time and its usefulness to God. God is a sign-giving God. In the Bible, Jesus remonstrated with some peoples because they did not know the signs of the times. He said, you can tell the weather from by looking at the sky. How is it that you don't know the signs of the times? And I wanted to tell you something that has always fascinated me, reading from Josephus. And he's writing about, Josephus was a historian. Actually, he was a Jew. He got captured by the Romans. And then he started traveling with the Romans. And he wrote about all the terrible things that happened around the time. And he was a witness to it, of the destruction of the temple by Titus in Jerusalem. And he talks about how many people were killed. There were more than a million people killed because they went up to, they were told by false prophets, this is what Josephus writes, a false prophet was the occasion of these people's destruction, who had made a public proclamation in the city that very day that God commanded them to get up upon the temple and that there they should receive miraculous signs of their deliverance. Well, this was exactly opposite of what Jesus said to them. He told them to get out of town and especially to beware those who were with child. So Jesus had given signs of that destruction and told them to leave. But they did not attend to such signs that, and God, he said, gave, this is Josephus writing, he's a sign-giving God. And he said, the miserable people were destroyed because they were persuaded by deceivers. And they did not attend nor give credit to the signs that were so evident and did so plainly foretell the future events. There was a star resembling a sword which stood over the city and a comet that continued a whole year. He said that there were especially signs which would come at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the feast that begins with Passover. He spoke of a great light that shone about the altar of the holy house. He spoke about the doors that were open, that took several men to open them, but they were just opened. And this is the part that I wanted to get to you. It happened at the time of the feasts. And also he said concerning all these signs, I didn't read nearly any of all of them to you. Some of them came for 7 years, but Josephus said, now, if anyone consider these things, he will find that God takes care of mankind and by all ways possible foreshows to our race what is for our preservation, but that men perish by these miseries which they madly and voluntarily bring upon themselves. They did not pay attention to the signs that God gave, and they paid attention to false deceivers. So this week, I'm going to talk to you about signs of the times. I'm going to talk to you about some coming up eclipses, which probably are signs that are given especially to the Jewish peoples and to Israel. And we're going to look at this week and next. I don't know when I'll get to it. But we're going to look at what John Hagee called the four blood moons and the solar eclipse that are coming up. I have known about these things for some time, but didn't tell about them. And then all of a sudden, one day, I got in the mail. John Hagee had dared to tell about it. It was on the even on the envelope that bore the letter. So we're going to talk about those signs this week. And if you would like a free CD of my teaching that I did at the ministers conference, just call or write us and we will send you What Time Is It That I Spoke at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness saying to you today, Shalom, Shalom, and be with us this week as we look at the signs that are coming up of our Lord's coming. He did say, you know, He's coming soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.